Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock school. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Hey, Dr. Burns, how were the 60s? Well, seeing as I was born in 64, I had a wonderful time. Yeah. People really much pretty much doted on me the entire time I was there.
And Chad P.
It says business propositions, business investment opportunities.
Class is in.
Good afternoon. This is Rock School. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe Burns, a professor in the Department of Communications, Southeastern Louisiana University, where we broadcast from, right here on this campus. Sitting next to me, a former student, one who must learn. What's your name, kid?
Chad P.
Chad P. Let's say hello right up front to the good people up in Connecticut. We normally wait till the bottom of the hour, but I wanted to say hi right up front. They are?
WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, Connecticut, our good affiliate friends.
Now, how many people were at Woodstock?
Which one?
69.
69?
69. The original Woodstock.
A gajillion.
A gajillion. About a half a million.
Yeah.
It happened 39 years ago this weekend.
That's right. It's 39th anniversary.
August 15th to August 18th, 1969, at Max Yasger's 600-acre dairy farm in the rural town of Bethel, New York. And by the way, it took almost 3 years for that farm to be productive again. In 3 days, what they did to that farm took almost 3 years to completely come back. Now, when I saw that and decided to put together a Woodstock show, which is what we're going to do today, I showed it to my wife and she said, "Are you going to play the same songs I hear all the time?" And I thought, "Yeah, that's a pretty good idea." It went for 3 days. There had to be other performers than, you know, haven't you heard Hendrix? A lot.
A lot.
Haven't you heard, you know, the same groups again and again? So what I did was I went to my 4-CD set of just about everything on Woodstock. And I went online and I started really looking around and I thought to myself, could I put together a Woodstock show that had a whole lot of information that you might not have heard before?
Like Woodstock's
so
the B-side.
That's what I'm trying to do here. Okay. That's really what I'm shooting for. So here's what I'm really getting at. Canceled appearances, refused invitations, people who didn't play, the history behind it, how did it come around, the sound for the concert, how did they get all of those people to hear all of this? The guy's name was Bill Hanley, and I'm going to tell you how Bill put together all of that good stuff. But let's begin with the history of Woodstock. How did this thing, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, otherwise known as an Aquarian Exposition, that's literally what it was called, how did it come to be?
Well, I'm sure that there was probably one or two people that was sitting around one day and got an idea.
Four people. It starts with two guys, John Roberts and Joel Rosenman. They had an idea for a recording studio in Woodstock, New York. They wanted to have this nice, calm place. They put an ad in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal that said, "Challenge International Limited," that's what they called themselves, quote, "young men with unlimited capital looking for interesting, legitimate investment opportunities with business propositions."
Wow.
Okay. Two people, Michael Lang and Artie Cornfield, saw the ad, joined up, and the four of them decided the recording studio probably isn't the way to go. Let's have a concert.
Okay.
So they decided to put together the concert. Now, contrary to the popular belief, Woodstock was never meant to be free. Woodstock was a money-making venture. It was to be profitable under the billing name of Woodstock Ventures.
That's right. It says business propositions, opportunities.
Right. Woodstock Ventures. You ready?
Yeah.
Nobody was supposed to make any more than $15,000 except their headliner.
Okay.
Hendrix.
Yes.
Hendrix was supposed to make $32,000. The problem was Hendrix wasn't supposed to be the headliner.
Wow. Oh.
Hendrix knew. Their headliner was supposed to be Bob Dylan.
What happened?
Bob Dylan was already booked at the Isle of Wight Festival in England.
Oh.
They couldn't get him, so they went, who's our new headliner? Oh, Hendrix.
Why didn't they just change the date to fit around Dylan's schedule?
Well, we're going to get into when and where and all of that.
Okay.
But these were the dates that were available, gotcha. And Max Yazger's farm was available.
All right.
Let's begin with a group you probably never knew about before. Well, people back then didn't know about before Woodstock.
Okay.
This is 10 years after. The guitarist's name is Alvin Lee. This is early on Sunday, the third day, very early. People are waiting for the Hendrix to come out, and Alvin Lee comes out 10 years after, begins to play. He goes on a 12-minute guitar rampage.
12 minutes.
It's called I'm Going Home, and it's brilliant. My guess is a lot of you haven't heard this before, because all you hear is the Hendrix and the Who and such. This is brilliant. Take a listen to it as we do Woodstock for an hour on Rock School. That's a Brit named Alvin Lee out in front of 10 years after I'm Going Home. Woof. There you go. As we do Woodstock. Is that the longest song we've ever played on Rock School? 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
And on it goes.
I just ran on down the road and got a bite to eat.
Got married,
made a
couple kids, bought a house, decided to set up an IRA.
That thing is 10 minutes plus two.
It goes on. It goes on. This is the Woodstock Show. We are in the 39th anniversary weekend, August 15th through the 18th. That's when Woodstock 69 occurred, the original Woodstock. Do you have to say 69 or just will Woodstock do it? It's kind of like Cher.
Well,
you just say Cher and you got it.
So what you got? You got three of them, right?
As far as I know.
94 and 99.
Yeah, and maybe some little ones here and there.
94 and 99 isn't old enough to get any tribute to it yet, so yeah.
So Woodstock alone will do it.
Yes.
And when I put the show together again, I tried to find music and I tried to find information that you hadn't heard before,
mm-hmm.
specifically music. I wanted, and that's 10 years after. I doubt when you think Woodstock, you think of 10 years after.
No, not at
Next,
all.
Next, we're going to play Johnny Winter. Did you even know Johnny Winter played at Woodstock?
When
it slipped your mind? Yeah. Johnny Winter's coming up next. Let me tell you about having to get to Woodstock.
Okay.
If you were going to buy tickets, you had to buy them in New York proper, one of the five boroughs.
All right.
They sold them at New York record stores. They were $17 in advance for all 3 days or $24 at the gate. In all, 186,000 tickets were sold. Now, wait a minute. If 186,000 tickets were sold, how did close to a half a million people get in?
We're getting to that.
There was a group of people known as the UAW/MF.
What?
And what they did was set to a concerted fence cutting operation. You ever heard of these people?
No.
The UAW/MF. I can't say the name on the radio.
Well, hold on.
It was called the Up Against the Wall.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And what they did was show up and they decided that, no, you're not going to make us pay. I'm sorry. And they cut the fence and people just poured in.
Wow.
So instead of 186,000, they expected 200,000 people. They expected some gate crashers. So they were shooting for 200,000. They had toilets. They had concessions. They had, what are you, a hospital and all that for 200,000 people. Half a million.
Oh, boy.
Yep. However, remarkably peaceful. When they say it was 3 days of peace, love, and music, they weren't kidding. Remarkably peaceful. Only three deaths. Two of them were from a heroin overdose. The other was from a young man who was in a sleeping bag who was run over by a tractor in a nearby field.
A tractor.
There were so many people, they actually were outside of Yazgir's 600-acre dairy farm, and he was hit by a tractor.
Get out.
No kidding.
Well,
I'm going to come back after this song by Johnny Winter, a little four-minute ditty. I'm not going to play another 12-minute tune. Little four-minute ditty by Johnny Winter. And by the way, his brother Edgar joined him on stage for a couple tunes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come back after this. This is not one that he joined him on. But I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you about people who canceled their appearances. And then we're going to talk about, after the next tune, people who refused invitations, were asked to play and didn't.
Let's get into him in just a second. We got to take a break and pay a bill.
Oh, that's right. Oh, the song was that long. All right. 1 minute. We'll be back with Johnny Winter on Rock School. This is Rock School as we celebrate the original Woodstock. Johnny Winter, Meantown Blues on Rock School. Do it, Johnny.
Hey, look at you.
Still got it.
Wow. Johnny Winter, Meantown Blues. He played Sunday evening. Again, Edgar joined him on stage for a couple, and that wasn't one of them, but
hey,
that's the one
something.
I had.
Tell me something. Do you know anyone? Are you friends with anyone that went to this concert?
No, and the thing about it is, I love it when students say to me, hey, Dr. Burns, how were the 60s? Well, seeing as I was born in 64, I had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
People really much pretty much doted on me the entire time I was there.
Yeah.
Canceled appearances.
Uh-oh.
These are people that were supposed to perform but didn't.
Kick themselves in the butt afterwards for not.
I'm telling you what, some of them say it was a good idea, some of them say it was a bad idea. Jeff Beck Group was scheduled to perform. In fact, they were going to be there on a Saturday, but failed to make the appearance because the band broke up a week before. Darn.
Well, yeah, you know those.
Iron Butterfly.
Hey, we talked about him last week.
They were at the airport. And their manager said, we demand helicopters and special arrangements to get there. Well, the people there said, you can go pound sand.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so then the bass player said, I got away. We'll teleport over there.
No, you won't. Joni Mitchell was slated to perform, but her agent informed her that it was more important to appear on the Dick Cavett Show on Monday than to, quote, sit around in a field with 500 people.
He was fired on Tuesday.
Yeah, you missed it by a few hundred thousand. Here's the funny part. David Crosby and Stephen Stills, as well as a couple of the performers from the Jefferson Airplane, who all performed at Woodstock, by the way, made it to that same Dick Cavett show.
Oh.
So she could have been there. So those are three canceled appearances. We'll talk about some refused invitations to Woodstock here in just a minute. Here's a great trivia question, folks. If you know somebody that doesn't listen to this show, try this trivia question out on them and then tell them to start listening to the show.
Yes.
Name the band that opened for Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock. There wasn't really an opening band for him because they all played. So name the band who performed just before Hendrix Sunday, Monday morning.
Can you do it?
Can you?
I can because I'm looking at your notes.
Do it.
Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na. As in Bowser and Sha-na-na. If you think I'm lying, here they are on Rock School.
Yeah, day.
Yeah, a lot of downtime. A lot of downtime. Sha na na. Welcome to the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about Woodstock. Man, were they screaming into those microphones?
Yes.
I mean, really over pushing
them.
Yes. You'll find that a lot, especially on a lot of these DVDs and such and CDs on this. You'll find a lot of these people are like sort of like over screaming the microphone. And I don't know what it was because the sound system seemed like it would be strong enough. Mm. And in the second half hour, we're going to talk about the sound system that went along with it. Now, you have a stump for me on Jimi Hendrix and the music and the, if I'm not mistaken, the song Order.
Yes.
So let me sort of piggyback on you with some of the information about the poster. We're going to play the very first person to start Woodstock. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good trivia question as well.
Okay.
But welcome to the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
If you would, go see us at KSLU.org/rock_school or just go to KSLU.org. You'll see the Rock School link there. Go and listen to the episodes and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you email us?
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com.
All right. Now, you're going to talk about ending the show.
Yeah, I'm
Hendrix.
Talking about ending the whole thing.
Ending the whole original Woodstock. Let me talk about starting it.
Go ahead.
I have a poster up in my office. It's not an original Woodstock poster. Mm-hmm. However, it is a poster that is made off the original Woodstock silk screens.
Okay.
Now, those of you who want to get an original Woodstock poster, what is the one of the real quick ways of telling whether a Woodstock poster is an original or is made off the original silk screens? The quickest way to do it is to look at the lineup. If Richie Havens is listed first, it's not original.
It's not?
Richie Havens was the first performer.
Okay.
However, Joan Baez was supposed to be the first performer.
So it's got to say Joan Baez.
It has to say Joan Baez first. But Richie Havens took the stage at 5:07 p.m., on that Friday night, starts with Handsome Johnny, and that's the one we're going to play next. But you have a stump on the ending of the show.
Yes.
Sunday night, Monday morning, Jimi Hendrix, go.
Jimi Hendrix headlined the entire Woodstock show, and a lot of people believe that he ended the whole thing by playing his world-famous Star-Spangled Banner riff.
No, he didn't. I know
that. That's true. It's not true. But do you know what he did end the show with?
I should. It's my name.
What is it?
Hey, Joe.
That's correct.
Hey, Joe. That
hey,
one
Joe.
I knew. That one I knew.
Good.
This is Richie Havens. First performer, Friday, August 15th. First song was High Flyin' Bird. This is Handsome Johnny on Rock School.
We're getting it tied up. Two or three of the groups are in. We're just trying to match up groups and equipment. We'll be okay.
We apologize for the noise of the choppity-choppity, but it seems there are a few cars blocking the road, so we're flying everybody in.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine being Richie Havens? You're basically told, look, our opening act isn't here. Go on, take your guitar. And it was literally him. He comes out, sits down with a guitar.
Yeah.
You have to watch the Woodstock, obviously, documentary.
Yeah.
Him with a guitar, and it's so tuned that he just takes his thumb, lays it over the top of the guitar, and by laying his thumb down, he's playing full chords, moving up and down the guitar neck. Him, a guitar, and if I'm not mistaken, a microphone for his vocal and a microphone for the guitar. I'm trying to remember because it's been a while since I've seen the documentary. And it's just him. And 500,000 people.
Hmm.
That's guts. That's confidence.
Got a question.
It really is. Shoot.
The people that played like the early Friday sets and everything.
Yes.
Do you know if some of them, we did our obligation, now we're out of here, or did they stick around?
I don't know. I know that some of the people who refused invitations, some of the band members came and hung around the whole time.
Okay.
But the performers, I don't know.
Hmm.
In fact, I can't even wager a guess. I don't even want to say anything because I'd probably be wrong.
Well, you would assume that they had to provide some type of housing for the people that weren't going to play until, like Sunday. Where did Jimi Hendrix hang out for
the
3 days?
Well, they were trucked in. I know that a lot of the later people were brought in by limousine, and some of them were brought in by, as you know, you heard the guy say at the beginning, the chop chop of the helicopters. You know, but Iron Butterfly said, "We demand helicopters." And they said, "Get lost."
Nope.
Here are some refused invitations. The promoters contacted John Lennon, stating, "We want the Beatles to perform, or just you." And John Lennon said, "Oh, I will, but you have to allow Yoko Ono's Plastic Ono Band to play." Promoter said, "Nope."
Huh.
The Doors were considered as a potential performing band, but canceled at the last moment. Contrary to popular belief, it had nothing to do with Jim Morrison's arrest for indecent exposure earlier that year. Basically, it was probably because his distaste for performing in large outdoor venues. He thought he was going to be shot.
Well,
yeah. Led Zeppelin was asked to perform, but said no.
Why?
Because they didn't want to be, quote, just another band on the bill. They went on a hugely successful summer tour.
Mm.
Jethro Tull was asked to perform, but said they thought it wouldn't be a big deal. The Moody Blues declined because they were booked for another event in Paris, decided to do it instead of Woodstock. Shucks.
Hmm.
Tommy James and the Shondells declined the invitation. Tommy James stated that, quote, "We could have kicked ourselves. We were in Hawaii," and the secretary called and said, "Yeah, listen," this is a quote, "Yeah, listen, there's this pig farmer in upstate New York that wants you to play in his field." Says that's how it was put to me. So we passed, and later on we realized what an absolute great thing we missed.
And she was looking for a regional employment after that.
This is the seventh performer on Saturday.
Okay.
Did an hour-long set. This was the opener. This is Mountain, Blood of the Sun on Rock School. Mountain.
Woo-hoo!
You know them from Mississippi Queen, The Blood of the Sun. That's the big one they started off with there. A seventh performer on Saturday. Let me tell you about the person who created the sound for the concert.
Okay.
And we'll do that in 1 minute. Woodstock here on Rock School. This is Woodstock right here on Rock School as we celebrate the 39th anniversary, August 15th through 18th. Woodstock back in 1969. Now, how do 500,000 people hear a concert? Well, it's got to be loud, right?
Ooh,
that's number one.
That's a given.
But here's the thing. It's not just loud. It's not just amplification. It has to do with where you place the speakers.
That's right. You have to be smart.
You got to put the speakers in the right place. Get a hold of Wikipedia. Get a hold of something on the internet and start looking up pictures of the stage on Woodstock. You'll notice that Max Yazger's farm is basically a big bowl. And they put the stage up on the edge of one of the bowls.
Mm-hmm.
They then built a system of 70-foot towers so that the speakers would be up. And they would be shooting sound down at the people.
Yeah, the higher up the sound is,
the farther it'll throw.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If you put the speakers at the same height as the people, it will only go so far until the sound is basically gobbled up
by
the people.
You're shooting the sound out, and it's hitting people in the face.
And gobbles up.
And then by the time it gets to the back row, there's no more sound.
The only thing that's left are the bass frequencies, because they can sort of defeat, and it dies out. So what you had was a series of 70-foot towers, which were basically built in a series of square boxes, 6 feet tall, 4 feet deep, 3 feet wide. Each of them contained four 15-inch speakers, four tweeters, two horns. And they just basically built these boxes, one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. That system still today is in use, and it's known as the Woodstock Bin.
Hmm.
And a guy named Bill Hanley came up with it. It was one of those things that the first time it was tried, it worked like a dream.
How much power do you have to pull?
Oh, I have to believe they were in the hundreds of thousands of watts.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is the band we're about to play, CCR, followed the Grateful Dead. And the Grateful Dead were getting shocked on stage.
Oh, yeah,
so you can only imagine when they handed the guitar to John Fogerty. Okay, you guys are next.
We are? Really?
I'll pass.
And they started a commotion on Rock School.
Thank you.
nice Spinal Tap outro. Commotion. They follow the Grateful Dead. They started right before Sly and the Family Stone. That's another good trivia question. Did Sly and the Family Stone play at Woodstock? Yeah, they did. Got two more stories for you. Okay. Let me tell you about the Abbie Hoffman incident. Abbie Hoffman was the leader of the Yippies, the Youth International Party. He was also the author of the book Steal This Book and protested at the 1968 Chicago Democratic National Convention. It's a good radio story, but go get the Woodstock documentary, the film, because you can see it. On stage are the Who. Now, there's this guy named John Sinclair. He's the leader of the White Panther Party, and he's a manager of the group, the MC5. He's given 9 years imprisonment in Michigan for marijuana possession after giving a couple of joints to an undercover officer. Okay. This is long before Woodstock. Well, Abbie Hoffman is at Woodstock. He's dropping acid, and he decides to run up on stage while the Who is playing. They've just finished Pinball Wizard. He grabs the microphone away from Pete Townsend, and he begins to give a speech about, you know, Sinclair and how obviously terrible it is. Townsend turns to him and yells, F off. F off my effing stage.
Nice.
Hoffman, who was high on LSD, turns to him and stares big and wide-eyed. Townsend takes off his Gibson Les Paul, holds it like a baseball bat, and hits a ground rule double off of Hoffman's head. Kapwango! Hoffman goes down like a bag of pancake batter. The Who then sings, Do You Think It's All Right? After the song, Hoffman has now been sort of taken off the stage. After the song, Townsend walks up and says, The next effing person that walks onto the stage is going to get effing killed. All right? You can laugh, but I mean it. Hey, peace and love, Pete. Peace and love, Pete. Huh? I think this is Arlo Guthrie, isn't it?
I think.
Coming into Los Angeles with a couple of keys, please. Don't do anything, please. Peace and love, Pete. Arlo Guthrie on Rock School.
Coming in from London from over the pole, flying in a big airliner, chicken flying everywhere around the plane. Could we ever feel much finer?
Coming into Los Angeles, there you go,
peace
Arlo
and love,
Guthrie's.
Peace and
yeah,
love.
Peace and love. Easy, peace, easy. That's going to wrap it up for us, ladies and gentlemen. We have to get out of here. We're just simply running out of time. That ends Woodstock 69 on the 39th anniversary of the wonderful get-together, the Summer of Peace and Love, starting with the show. Here's the aftermath. It ends at 9 a.m. Monday morning. Woodstock Ventures wanted to make money. They're $1.34 million in debt.
Oh, gosh.
Yasgur's farm takes almost 3 years to be profitable again. The four men face lawsuits from illegal drug use to illegal burning. However, they own the rights to Woodstock.
Mm.
And Woodstock documentary makes all their money back.
Yay.
They also make money in the two coming
yep.
Woodstock deals. The area of Yazdir's farm right now holds a 16,000-seat amphitheater and a stone and brass plaque, and I have a picture of myself standing right there.
Rock on. We're going to have to put that on the website.
We end, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up. Put your hands on your hearts.
And be respectful.
Take your hat off. Mm-hmm. Be respectful. Hendrix, Star Spangled Banner. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Class is dismissed.